Today we're making an old-school DNB riser in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're learning how to move it from session view into arrangement view in a way that actually fits the flow of a drum and bass tune. This is one of those small details that makes a track feel alive. In DNB, especially jungle, rollers, and darker pressure-heavy tunes, a riser is not just a sweep for excitement. It's a tension tool. It helps you bridge phrases, hint at the drop, and keep the momentum moving without crowding the break or the bass. What we want here is something that feels functional, gritty, and old school. Not a giant cinematic whoosh, more like a rough, controlled transition that can sit between a drum fill and a drop without stealing the spotlight. First, set up a dedicated track for it in session view. I'd name it something simple like riser or transition FX. Keep it separate from your drums and bass so you can control the transition energy on its own. For the sound source, a simple synth is usually the best choice. You can use Operator or Waveatable, but for that classic DNB feel, I'd start with Operator. Load a basic sine or saw wave, and hold one note rather than programming a bunch of notes. That gives you a cleaner, more direct rise. If you're in a minor key, try a note around F or G, depending on the track. Keep the amp envelope snappy enough to feel alive, but not so sharp that it clicks. A short attack, a decay that lets it breathe, low sustain, and a short release is a solid starting point. If you want a darker, smoother riser, use a sine-like tone and let the processing create the movement. If you want a harder edge, use a saw wave and filter it down later. The main idea is that old-school tension usually comes from motion and phrasing, not from massive sound design. Now record a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI clip in session view, and hold that single note through the clip. This is a really good workflow for DNB because it keeps things tight and easy to reuse. You can always print variations later, but start simple. Next, add auto filter after the synth. Set it to a low pass filter, and begin with the cutoff fairly low, somewhere around the low hundreds of hertz, depending on the source. Then automate it to open gradually, so that by the end of the riser it's reaching well into the high end, maybe 6 to 12 kHz. Add a little resonance if you want a bit of whistle or edge, but don't overdo it. Too much resonance and the riser starts sounding like it belongs in a different genre. We want pressure, not cheese. If you're using Operator, automate the pitch upward too. A 1-octave rise over 1 bar can work nicely if you want something subtle and tight. Over 2 bars, you can stretch it a bit more, maybe 12 to 24 semitones. But for old-school DNB, shorter often feels better. A 1-bar riser can feel much more authentic than a huge cinematic build. You can also use clip envelopes in session view to keep the movement reusable. That way, the automation lives inside the clip, and you can launch it again later without rebuilding everything. Think about the curve too. A perfectly linear rise can feel a little flat. A curve that pushes harder in the second half often feels more urgent. A good approach is to keep the first half fairly restrained, then let the second half open up more aggressively. That last quarter of the clip is where the energy really needs to lift. Now let's give it character. Old-school DNB transition sounds usually have some grit. They're not polished to death. They often feel like they've been through a bit of circuitry, Tate, or speaker abuse. Add saturator after the filter. Push a few decibels of drive, keep soft clip on, and trim the output so you're not overloading the next device. If you want more bite, try overdrive before saturator and focus the tone in the mid-range. That can help the riser speak in the 1 to 5 kHz area, which is where it often needs to cut through a dense break. Use EQ8 after that to clean up the result. High pass the low end so it doesn't fight the sub. Usually, somewhere above 120 to 200 Hz is a good start, depending on the sound. If it gets harsh, dip a little around the upper mids. If it needs a little air, a gentle high shelf can help. At this stage, the riser should feel like it has texture, but still be controlled. That's the balance we want in DNB. It needs to read clearly on small speakers without masking the kick, snare, or bassline. Now for movement. A good riser feels like it's breathing, not just climbing in a straight line. So add a touch of modulation if the sound needs it. Phaser flanger or chorus ensemble can work well if you keep the mix low. Even a small amount can make the riser feel more alive. Another nice option is frequency shifter. If you want something a bit more unstable and metallic, use very small amounts. The goal is that broken, slightly hardware-like tension, not a special effect wobble. You can also use autopan for a subtle rhythmic pulse, but be careful here. In DNB, too much movement can get in the way of the drop. Keep it light and high focused. If the riser starts messing with the sub or muddying the groove, back off. Now comes one of the most important steps, print it to audio. Create a new audio track called Riser Print. Set the input to resampling, or route the MIDI track directly if you prefer. Arm the audio track and record the riser from session view into audio. This step matters a lot because once it's audio, you can reverse it, chop it, fade it, warp it, and place it exactly where the arrangement needs it. That's the difference between a cool idea and a real production tool. I'd actually recommend printing two versions. Make one cleaner and more controlled, and make another a little more distorted or wider. Then listen in context and choose the version that actually supports the track. Now bring that printed audio into arrangement view. This is where the riser becomes part of the song structure instead of just a looping idea. In DNB, a riser usually works best in the last bar or two before a drop, or before a drum fill, or around a snare pickup. Think in phrases. If the track moves in 8-bar or 16-bar chunks, the transition sound should support that structure. It should feel like it belongs to the drum programming, not like it was dropped in from outside. For example, if your drop lands on bar 17, you might have the riser begin on bar 15 and peak right before the first beat of bar 17. If there's a fill on bar 16, let the riser rise behind it instead of fighting the snare hits. That's a really important mindset in drum and bass. Phrase energy matters more than the exact sweep shape. The best risers are tied to the drum logic of the tune. When you place it in arrangement view, make sure it lands cleanly. Add tiny fades at the start and end if needed so you don't get clicks. If the riser is peaking too early, move it. If it's covering the snare fill, back it off or shift the start point. You want the riser to frame the transition, not flatten it. A good trick is to automate the utility gain slightly. Maybe start a bit lower, then push it up by a decibel or two toward the end if the section needs a little more urgency. Then let it drop out right at the impact so the bass and drums have room to hit hard. If you want to make it feel bigger, send a little of it into reverb. Use a short to medium decay. Keep the low end filtered out, and don't swamp the whole transition. You want space and size, but not mud. And if the riser is stepping on the kick or snare, sidechain it lightly from the drums. You're not trying to create a big pumping effect unless that's the style. You're just making a bit of room so the backbone of the track stays punchy. Before you commit, check it in mono and at low volume. That's a great reality check. If the riser still reads quietly and clearly when you turn the monitoring down, it's probably doing its job. If it disappears completely, it might be too dependent on brightness or width. Also, pay attention to stereo discipline. If there's any low mid weight in the riser, keep that more centered. You can widen the high layer if you want, but don't over-widen the whole thing. In DNB, mono compatibility and low-end clarity are huge. A really effective old-school trick is to let the riser end just before the drop and leave a tiny pocket of silence or air. That little empty space can make the kick and sub feel much larger when they come in. Sometimes the absence hits harder than the crash. If you want to level it up, layer two risers, one tonal and one noisy. Keep the tonal layer more focused and the noisy layer more airy. That gives you tension and texture without bloating the mix. You can also reverse a short stab, snare, or vocal hit and tuck it under the rise for that classic pull-in effect. Another strong variation is to make a call and response riser. Instead of one constant build, try a short rise, a tiny dip, then another rise. That can feel more old school and less glossy, especially in jungle-inspired sections. The big takeaway here is simple. Don't think of the riser as just an effect. Think of it as part of the arrangement language. In older jungle and DNB, transition sounds often feel like extensions of the drum edit. When you place them well, they make the phrase change feel intentional and powerful. So to recap, start with a simple tonal source in session view. Shape it with filter and pitch. Add a little grit with saturation or distortion. Keep the low end under control. Print it to audio, and then place it in arrangement view so it actually supports the groove and the drop. If you do it right, the riser won't just announce the change. It'll make the whole tune feel tighter, darker, and way more alive. For practice, build three versions, a short one-bar riser, a layered two-bar version, and a grittier version with a sharper end. Print all three, place them before different transitions, and listen to which one feels most old school, which one keeps the drums punchiest, and which one works best on smaller speakers. That kind of comparison is how you learn to choose the right transition sound instead of just making a loud one. All right, let's build it, print it, and make that drop feel earned.